I bid you welcome.
Cara mia. We all go a little mad sometimes.
We accept a one of us. We accept a one of us.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Wolfman's got an art.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Home is Where the Horror Is, a podcast dedicated to all things horror and our love for it. I'm your host, Brian.
And I'm Monica.
Christmas is only a couple weeks away, babe.
It is.
And we did one absolutely god-awful horror movie last week, thanks to me. And before we get into your movie, which is much better.
Yep.
We watched another horror movie. Christmas horror movie, I should say.
Yeah.
What was it?
The new remake of Black Christmas.
Yep. The second remake, the original Black Christmas.
I don't think I've seen the original, but I saw the first remake.
The original is far and away the best, and it actually came out before Halloween. Mm-hmm. So it was actually, a lot of people ignore the fact that was a slasher film before we had Halloween and stuff like that. The remake is fine. It's really campy, gory fun. It's, goofy.
I believe I actually saw the remake in the theaters. Didn't it come out in, the 90s or something like that?
Michelle Trachtenberg, the Chuck from Eurotrip, was in it. But we watched the newest remake, and well, what was your opinion of it? Because I think you're a lot softer on it.
I am. I think you hated on it way more than I did. I get where you're coming from and everything, but I don't think it was terrible. I mean, it was okay.
What was okay about it?
I mean, it was fine.
Fine is...
Just in general, the movie was fine. I know you're all about, because it's all feminist and...
No. I'm about the
girl
lack...
Girl power.
I'm about the lack of subtlety in one-liners, I will never be broken! And just corny dialogue that was drenched throughout that movie. And I was live tweeting it as we were watching it, and a lot of people definitely right away noted, there's no subtlety there.
Yeah.
And it's one of the number one reasons why this movie gets hated on. Sure, it should not have had the term Black Christmas, because that hurt it as well, because people are tied to the original. And when you bastardize the movie that much and make it whatever you call this film, I mean, the whole turn of... The original Black Christmas was a guy escaped from a mental institution.
That's what I'm saying. It was the idea was different.
The idea was completely different. It was a guy that was actually in a sorority house stalking the girls, killing them off one by one, and very brutally. And he was harassing them, for a time, it was wow, what the hell? And the thing about those movies are that in the first remake, the kills are, they're showcased.
Yeah.
I didn't realize when we first watched it that this was a PG-13 movie. So that's why a lot of the kills, you never actually see a kill. And the one shot they should have shown, the girl in the attic, you get to see a side profile for a half a second.
Yeah.
It just, that sucked. The dialogue was terrible. And it was just like you said, I like political statements when they're subtle.
Yeah.
Like when something's being George Romero in Dawn of the Dead. It's a commentary on consumerism and shoppers being zombies in a mall. That's why they're stuck in the mall.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that. Was there anything subtle about this movie?
No.
No. Were the killers so obviously predictable? And you knew who the bad guys were. There wasn't even a hint of ooh, I'm going to get surprised.
Yeah.
So that movie, no, it sucked. There's nothing fine about it. Because you can't even articulate something that was okay with it. Go ahead.
I mean, I thought it was all right. I don't know if I'd watch it again.
Name one scene you liked.
I don't know.
Exactly. But let's move on to Greener Pastures and your pick for this week. It's been a go-to for us for a while since it released. So what are we talking about today?
Today we are going to recap the 2015 version of Krampus. Which we actually saw this in the movies. This is one of
when it the first ones came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We made a point. It's not a spoiler. I mean, it's just our opinion. We both really like it, and it's our. At a minimum, we watch a lot of Christmas horror movies, but this is always for sure like in the rotation of go-to Christmas films.
Yeah.
Just like Die Hard.
Which is absolutely a Christmas film.
I'm not willing to debate it either way. I just accept that I watch it every Christmas.
Because of me.
I do like the film.
So, Krampus was released December 4th, 2015 in the U.S. It came out in like November, I think, like overseas, but it was released in December here.
Little fun fact I'll throw in there. I didn't want to save it till the end. Originally, it was going to be the November 24th or 25th here. But they did push it to December 4th, which coincides with Krampusnacht, which is December 5th.
Yep.
So they wanted to kind of do that little tie-in, which I love. Like,
yeah.
Put that little extra bit of effort.
I would think overseas it should have been December 5th because Europe is pretty much where they celebrate Krampusnacht and everything like that. And bringing that up, that's actually the night that we watched it. We watched it on December 5th, which was Saturday, because of Krampusnacht.
Oh, we're so coordinated.
We are. So the director was Michael Dougherty, which also he direct, wrote, and produced one of our other favorite movies for Halloween, which is...
Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat, yes. So the runtime is 98 minutes. Now... The budget, I saw the budget was $15 million for this movie. 15.
That's pretty low for what I would have thought.
And they actually, in the box office, made $61.5 million.
I mean, that guy makes, I want him to cover every holiday at this point. Like, he's a money machine. He knows how to mix humor and really well-done sets and creatures. So, fuck, I want to see a Michael Dougherty Easter.
Yeah.
I want to see a Valentine's. I want to see a remake of a St. Patty's Day. Yeah. I want to see it all. And then, and a Thanksgiving. There you go. He could be our Thanksgiving guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's a couple cast members that, you know, are pretty well known. The father, who's played by Adam Scott. Yep. So, we know him in
Parks
quite a
and
few
Rec
more. Yeah.
And Stepbrothers. Yeah. He's in a ton of stuff.
Yeah. So he plays the father, whose name is Tom. Toni Collette, who's the mom, her name is Sarah. Mm-hmm. So we watched that
Hereditary.
Yeah.
But she's also another one in a ton of horror movies.
Yeah.
What was one of her first ones? You should know this because it has one of your crushes in it. Let's call it your original crush.
With Bruce Willis?
Yep.
Oh, The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, she's the mom.
She's the mom. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Goofy.
I didn't think about that for a minute. David Kolchner, he's Uncle Howie.
Keckner?
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Keckner. Whatever.
Dave Keckner?
Words are hard.
Yeah. In a little movie called Anchorman, no big deal.
Yeah.
Whammy!
Some that I... you know, really haven't seen before, but two of the main ones is MJ Anthony, who plays the son Max, who kind of like everything's about, and then Krista Stodler, who is the grandmother Omi.
Yeah.
So basically the idea is it all starts like 3 days before Christmas, and this family is the Engel family. They're gathering for Christmas, and Max at this point still believes in Santa, and he writes a letter to him. And the family is just constantly fighting and bickering and everything like that. So the aunt and uncle come with their kids and surprise, the aunt pops up alongside them. So they're now all in the house, and the girls see that Max has his letter to Santa in his pocket. And there's a whole scene where, you know, the letter comes out and they go over it and everything, and there's a big fight at the dinner table, and then he just gets so mad he goes up to his room, like, I hate my family, rips up the note, throws it out the window. So then, you know, the next day is when things start to change, like the power goes out and everything, and strange things start to happen. people start disappearing, and come to find out it's Krampus. And then Krampus and all his evil Christmas creatures kind of come and take them away one by one. Until we get to the ending. So
and they try to survive the night till Christmas.
Yeah.
It is a great tale of it's obviously not a feel good Christmas movie. The family's fighting, I mean, that's probably more realistic to what goes on in most people's.
It's a lot of bickering. Not so much. Like, there's one, like, the one scene at the dinner table where they're, like, at each other's throats and stuff like that. But mostly bickering, arguing over stupid stuff.
Which is what families do. Krampus comes, and as Monica said, with his little army of soldiers, and the only one that knows about this was Max's grandmother.
Yeah.
And she ends up telling them a tale of it. It opened a lot of people's eyes to Krampus, because unless you're either a horror nerd, you know mythology, or you, for some reason, have German grandmothers, like I actually happen to have, a lot of people probably didn't know about Krampus. So this, like, really, I think, highlighted that myth in particular. So before we get into what we really love and hate about this movie, what's our post-mortem breakdown?
All right. So we're stating kills, but technically no one was actually killed. There were more like disappearances. So, I mean, I guess you can argue that. But we're going to say kills. So there is 15 kills and one dog. Mm-hmm. So it's always bad when it's the dog. No sex, no nudity. 3 falls, 12 screams.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
And, you know, there's 4 instances that we said were Murphy's Law. No cell signal, no power. The Christmas tree catches fire. Car is on fire. You know, things like that. And for reoccurring, I actually put down 2 things just because I wasn't sure. But there's quite a bit of it. So the quarrels between the family, there was 8 scenes where they're fighting. Like I said, there was a lot of fighting. And the other thing I put was Christmas creatures, which actually there was a lot. There was 11. So there's demonic toys, the snowman, Krampus, Jack in the Box, gingerbread men, these like snow creatures that we never actually saw. They were just kind of like reminding me of Tremors, like, you know, like little worms underneath the snow. There were elves, there was an angel, a bear, a robot, and a demonic reindeer.
Yes. So the demonic reindeer, another fun fact I'm going to throw out there. I'll just do my fun facts as you mentioned things. A few of the things that came up that I covered last week. So remember all the Icelandic stuff, the Yule things? Mm-hmm. Those were Yule goats.
Oh, okay.
And all those elves were actually supposed to be representative of the Yule lads.
Oh, okay.
So there were supposed to be roughly 12 of them, and the name that their mother says
was it Spoonlicker?
It was Stett Jarlstor, which is they're just different names. So a lot of the actual creatures had Icelandic names.
Gotcha.
So yeah, they're tied to those Yule. So
the Potlicker.
I mean,
the sausage smuggler.
As we saw, those elf things, they were more...
They were creepy.
They were creepy, but they were, like, playful.
Yeah.
And that's what I, like, take away. Like, Krampus is scary as shit, but even him, like, they're, like, having fun when they're doing it.
Yeah.
And the gingerbread guys, like, they're hilarious. So it's like, yes, it is all evil, but it's all done with a playful spirit.
Yeah.
Which is, like, what keeps it kind
of... Well, they actually consider this, when I looked it up, IMDb, they actually considered it comedic horror.
Yeah. I still put it more horror.
Yeah.
Because it gets so dark in some parts. Yeah. But, it's to me, it's very reminiscent of, like, Gremlins. Like,
yeah.
When Gremlins, when they turn bad, there are scary moments, but they're just doing goofy shit. And they actually do kill people, like... A little bit crazier, but let's jump right into what do we love about this movie.
So for me, well, it's two things, actually. Like, I love the different creatures that they use. Like, they, like I said, there was 11 different, like, Christmassy kind of creatures. Yeah. And, like, use them in all different ways. Like, the Jack-in-the-Box. Mm. I love, like, the jaws that opened up. Like, that was pretty cool. Like you said, like, the little, the Christmas cookies, the gingerbread man. Mm-hmm. They were pretty funny. And they're in the kitchen and they're throwing knives and things like that. Like, that, they were pretty funny.
You know who voiced the gingerbread cookies?
No.
Seth Green.
Really? Mm-hmm. And like the other thing I really liked about it is just Krampus's silhouette. Like, it's just terrifying. It's so big and the antlers and everything like that. Like,
horns.
Whatever. Horns, whatever. But like, I really liked that silhouette that they used.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, as a generic, the set pieces, especially the outdoors, like,
yeah.
I loved how everything looked, and it's very reminiscent of what I said about Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
Because, like you're saying, the creatures, every design, the gingerbread men were definitely CG.
But they were so cute.
They were adorable, so you kind of overlook
yeah.
it. But as you said, you pointed out Jack-o'-lantern. That thing looked
Jack
amazing.
Jack in
the
Box.
Or yes, Jack-in-the-Box. The angel toy.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Even a little robot. Now, the bear was, like, half CG, half
yeah.
not.
But like, and like I said, that reminded me of, like, Five Nights at Freddy, that little bear.
Yes. But, like, this is one of those situations where I, once again, always say, you can't beat the effect of something practical.
Yeah.
As you said, Krampus, if his silhouette was achieved with CG, you like, just wouldn't buy it as much.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they had something there physically.
Yeah.
And... yeah, that scene of him coming down the chimney was just, whew.
Yeah.
And
the sound that he makes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know how to describe that. But
it's like, wait. I tried.
Oh,
I
nope.
tried. Never
nope.
mind.
Let's rewind that. Your family
it
has
a like
way
a horn.
Of...
it was like a horn kind of.
Can we
no,
that?
I can't do it again.
Because, you
can't.
Know, he did use a horn.
Yeah.
So that wasn't just his voice.
Oh, okay.
So what did he sound like?
I don't know. I forgot.
No. What did he? Oh. It sounds like if the Vikings had a slow bus, a slow
Shut
boat.
Up.
Oh, I love you, babe.
Great.
Yeah, I really, the look of everything was just friggin' spot on.
Yeah.
And of course, the humor. Like,
yeah.
The humor was in there. I don't know. All that was great. I didn't have anything I hated about this movie.
So, my biggest issue, like I said, I loved the silhouette of him and everything. My biggest issue was the up close when you see his face. I hated it. Like, it would have been fine, but, like, my issue was his mouth is just stationary. It doesn't do anything. Like, his tongue came out at one point, but, like, it's just like his mouth is just agape the whole time. Like, if they would have made it look like it moved a little bit or something like that, like, it was just hanging open the whole time. I just didn't like that.
And the thing I said to Monica, and I think I've looked this up, when I've looked at that up-close face, I feel like it shows what looks to be, like, it's a mask, and it's more of a creature or demon underneath. Like, 'cause it looks like... the eyes, like, you almost see, like, a black, like, skin underneath,
yeah.
like, something is wearing a mask over it. Maybe that is just how he looks. Either way, I do agree. It is weird. Like, you see his awesome silhouette, and it's a very creepy face.
That's what I said. Like, the face would have been fine if the mouth wasn't just hung open the whole time and just,
yeah.
like, static. Like, I just didn't like that. Like, if they would have had a movable mouth or something.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, you see a lot of depictions of Krampus with his tongue hanging out and things like that, but I felt like, you know, this whole time there's this lead up and then you see his face and you're like, everything looked great, and then it's just a hot mess once you actually see it up close.
Yeah, I'm still holding out hope, and I'll try to confirm it. I'm holding out hope that is supposed to be a mask
just
over
a mask.
Top of it. But either way, it's still a very creepy
yeah.
design. Was there anything else you didn't like about the
no,
movie?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right. So, specific scenes. I'll go first. The very first scene we get of Krampus. So if you remember, it's Max's sister's going to check on the boyfriend, and as she goes outside, like I said, I already love the outside. There's a storm going on, but it feels like a legit neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like all these other movies where, even though they're in a richer area, like, it still feels like a neighborhood, but you see on a house that first silhouette of him.
Yeah. And you know when it's coming because it's, like, bright and snowy, and then all of a sudden it kind of gets a little
gray.
Gray, yeah.
And he hops from house to house. Yeah. So right away you're like, holy shit.
And then you hear the...
Oh, my God. You're still doing it. But, yeah, in a classic, you get the sense of, okay, he's fast as hell. He's big as hell.
Yeah.
She's hiding under a truck, and you see the hooves, and you just, like, the ground steams as he walks. He's got the jingle bells going. Like, it's so creepy because they did a good job of letting you get a little taste of what he was, but it wasn't, like, mm-hmm. too many movies would have went full reveal right there.
Yeah.
So you are still in suspense. Like, what does he look like?
Yeah.
I think you even get a sense of his fingers, like how crazy mm-hmm. big they are there, too. So you're really like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
What about you? What scene?
So my first one was the dinner scene.
Okay.
So the whole family... Like I said, you have the mom, the dad, Max, his sister, you know, you got the aunt, the uncle, the...
their daughters.
Their two daughters, their son, the grandma, and then the great aunt is there.
And the baby.
And the baby, yeah, which they forgot in the car. But they're all sitting around the table, and Toni Collette goes, like, in the kitchen or whatever, and, you know, they're arguing the whole time, and that's when here the... The cousins, the girl, steal Max's letter to Santa, and she starts reading it aloud. And, like, some of the things that were in there, you know, like he says, you know, I wish mom and dad could fall in love again. You know, I wish it wasn't so hard for the aunt and uncle around Christmas time. And the girl stops. She's like, screw you, dad doesn't wish we were boys. But yeah. They obviously he does. But there's, like, a lot of stuff in the letter. And, like, no one's stopping them. Like, the parents are just watching her, like, read this off. And, like, no one says anything.
Yeah, like, the sister tries to intervene. Like, she stops him from first grabbing the letter. And then she even says, like, okay, that's enough. But, yeah, all the other parents are, like, even... I could have even understand if it wasn't Max's dad sitting there. Yeah. But the Max's dad, like, he's just, like, listening, like, along. Like, what else does he say? Like, yeah. And I do love the Toni Collette coming in. Who wants creme brulee?
Yeah. And then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. It is a great scene. That's the only thing that does feel off is that nobody says anything.
And then that's what leads him to, you know, going upstairs and ripping up the letter and saying he hates his family. And that's kind of what starts this whole Krampus situation.
Yeah. Yeah. My next one, I'm sure it's on your list.
It's probably the next one that I have.
The gingerbread attack.
Yes.
That was... So you get an idea. There's more than just Krampus, because I think we get wind of the snow creatures.
Yeah.
They attack David Koechner's character.
Yeah.
You get an idea that the snowmen might be up to something. But when they go into the boyfriend's house looking for Max's sister, they can tell something's happened in the house, but they don't know what. And David Koechner walks by and he notices, like, there's a gingerbread man with a knife through him in a wall. He's like, whoever did that is sick. But eventually, you see the gingerbread man go to town and go after him. And... I'm combining two scenes here.
Okay.
Actually.
I was going to say, yeah, I have the one with the kid, Howie Jr. Yeah.
I'm torn. I want to talk about it, but I don't. But I'll just say it. That is also my favorite quote-unquote kill.
Mine too.
Okay. So this scene sets up where, you know, the families are all sleeping, and the German grandmother said multiple times, like, keep the fire warm.
Yeah.
It'll stop Krampus. And, you know, David Koechner falls asleep when he was supposed to stay up. The fire starts to dim. And you see a hook being lowered down through the chimney. At the end of the hook is a gingerbread cookie.
Yeah.
right away, when we were in the theaters, we went with our Monica's sister and her husband, who's also one of my best friends from college. And as soon as the fat kid got up, he because just turned to me. He's like, you motherfucker. He's like, fuck you. And I'm just laughing because it's such a movie trip. Of course, the fat kid is going to get, oh, there's a cookie.
Yeah. Well, especially because, like, it's just hanging from the hook and the cookie goes, yoo-hoo. And then, like, the kid gets up and looks at his, like, mouth, like, agape and everything because he can't close it because he's a mouth breather. But and then he goes after the cookie.
Well, he goes over, he picks up, and he takes a bite of it. And the cookie then, like, wakes up and is like, ah! And then proceeds to, like, with lightning speed, wrap him up in a chain. And the kid starts getting pulled up by Krampus. The mother, the whole family's trying to hold on to him. But as Toni Collette's getting pulled up chimney with him, the gingerbread, like, makes a little scream face at him. It's just so ridiculous. And it does lead to a future gingerbread attack.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that scene was just beyond ridiculous and still my favorite disappearance or kill.
Yeah, that's mine too.
What about you?
So there was a flashback that basically, you know, the grandma, because like the whole time the grandmother's speaking German, and Max and, you know, his father are pretty much the only ones who understand her and can like speak back to her. But then after the disappearance of Howie Jr., she's like, you know, everyone needs to sit down. She's like, everyone sit down and listen. And of course the aunt was like, I knew she spoke English. So then she goes into a flashback basically when she was a child, you know, when she lived in Germany, there was a lot of issues, like famine, poverty, things like that. Everyone kind of lost the idea of Christmas, and, you know, no one really believed anymore. So she gave up on it and, you know, kind of wished things were different. Basically wished her family away. And that's the night that Krampus came, took her family, and just left her as a reminder. And that's when you get the Krampus bell and everything like that.
Yeah. Which I said, she's lived with this her whole life and never thought to tell. Like, as she sees this grandchild of hers going down this path of giving up on Christmas, she doesn't think to give him a warning, like, don't give up. Some shit could happen.
Well, I guess it's probably, too, like, she probably thinks no one would believe her.
That's true. I still think. Open your mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
My next one is the big kerfuffle. The fight with the jack-in-the-box and all the other Christmas creatures in the attic. I keep saying Jack-o-box. What the hell is it called?
Jack-in-the-box.
As Monica alluded to, you see this thing swallow up one of the daughters of David Koechner, and the other one's knocked out. So the parents, they go up, they're fighting this thing, and it looks great. Its mouth opens wide like a worm snake thing. It's just crazy looking, but as they're having this fight with that, all these other presents they notice are in the attic, and they're like, what is this? And it's like the killer robot. It's this creepy ass angel decoration thing,
like a tree topper.
It's that Five Nights at Freddy's looking bear, and it's just an all-out fight. And it's funny because by the end of it, the aunt is the one who kind of messes them all up with the shotgun. But I just love that idea of, like, they even threw in, like, Toni Collette and choked it, like, trying to get hung by that angel.
Yeah.
So it was just a really fun fight. But as that's going on, there's a fight with the gingerbread cookies. Yeah. And David Koechner, who is injured, goes down to the kitchen and he sees these cookies just standing there. And they have a nail gun and they're shooting them. And their little yell is like, ha-ha! It reminded me of the fight of Ash versus the little versions of Ash from the Army of Darkness movie. And, of course, he shoots, like, a lantern that's on the cabinet, blows them up, they're on fire. He's like, yeah, take that. And they turn and look at him, they're like, charge! Yeah. And as one of them is midair, the dog finally comes through and eats them. It's so ridiculous, but that's probably the highlight of the movie for me.
Yeah. See, mine is about the same time when, like, the elves bust in and they're running around. They're getting up in their face. And I love when they tie the ant up and she's like, oh, I'll see you in hell.
Yeah. And just
the and they just yank her out.
That scene, you know what actually did upset me with that scene? Is they the also baby. Take the baby.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, did you have to take the baby? Like, that was, yeah, that was the part where I was like, oh, this is kind of dark. Yeah. My final scene, and I'll throw it out there. It's a major, major spoiler. So if you haven't seen this movie.
I'm pretty sure if anyone's listening to us, they're getting spoilers. I know. So I don't think you have to say it's a spoiler.
I'm saying this is the epitome of a spoiler for this movie. The very end, Max wakes up because he wants to sacrifice himself for his family. He gets thrown in this lava pit from Krampus. And you think, you know, he's up in his bed and it's Christmas Day. And you think the wish came true. Like, it's that atypical Christmas movie miracle, if you will. He's sitting there with his family. They're all opening gifts. And Max opens up his. And it's the Krampus bell. And everyone, like, is still in a good mood. But when they look at it, their faces just turn to, like, oh, shit.
Like, everyone's frozen. Like, what?
And you hear, and you don't know if they're hearing it, but you hear, like, everything they've said from the previous night when all the shit was going down. And they start zooming out of the house, and you realize the house is in a mini snow globe in this cave with a bunch of other snow globes, which was a shot that I feel was almost identical to the reveal in Jeepers Creepers. When you see, like, you think that Justin Long may still be alive. They zoom out and his body's hanging there with the other one. So, yeah, that, you talk about terrifying. Like, I don't know how many snow globes are there, but there's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's in this creepy-ass place.
And you just, like, see Krampus's hand sitting it down.
Yeah. So, that was another one that I was not really expecting.
Yeah.
But it was damn good.
It was, yeah.
Any other scenes for you?
No, that was it.
All right, so before we get to our grades, the only other things I wanted to mention as little fun facts, there were two actual Easter eggs, if you will, for Trick or Treat. When the dad is listening to the report of the blizzards and stuff, one of the places he mentions is Warren County, which is the city that
Trick or Treat
took place in.
Okay.
And when Sam offers candy to his cousins, if you look in the box, Sam's lollipop is there. Yeah, the orange lollipop.
Huh.
So they had the little candy from Trick or Treat. Outside of that, I covered some of the other ones as we were going through, but it's very interesting that this movie, one, I didn't think this was real, but 95% of the movie was shot on a soundstage. They didn't do anything, like, on any specific locations, which makes it even more impressive that they made that neighborhood look the way it did. Is there anything else? Okay, so I did, as we were sitting here talking, I was able to confirm. So Krampus's true face is hidden underneath a Santa Claus-like mask and is never fully revealed to the audience as a choice by the filmmakers to allow viewers to make their own conclusion as to what he actually looks like.
Oh, okay.
So his eyes and mouth are the only visible traces that can be seen through a mask. That's what I was saying.
You can see his tongue and everything. So, yeah. Oh, okay.
So he did have a dark, like, demon-like.
I did see that, and, like, I remember you were telling me that, and I tried to look at it, but I'm like, it kind of looks like maybe his eyes are just sunken in a little bit. Like, okay. I guess that makes more sense then.
Yeah. And then finally, the ambiguous ending has two major fan theories that, of course, Michael Dougherty is not commenting on, but he just kind of nods at. So the first is that the Engels and their family are trapped in a snow globe, condemned to repeat Christmas morning for eternity in their own twisted world. Like, they're going to keep repeating that every day.
Okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, if you think about it, like, towards the end of the movie, the portal opened up or whatever you want to call it, like the, you know, to hell, basically. That's at least what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
And if he did take them all to hell, then, you know, they could be on a hell loop. Yeah. So basically, you're doomed to repeat the same thing over and over again for all eternity. So that does make sense.
Yeah, I mean, either one, I guess, could make sense, because we saw with the grandmother, and even with Max, he was willing to let them kind of live with what they've done.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird, and it's a weird thing to say. Obviously, you never want to know if there's a hell or if there's a hell loop, but at least they're with their family.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, I don't know. Either way, it's a terrifying idea that many families have been punished.
Yeah.
In that sense. So, really great movie. Very curious. What did you give this one?
I'm going to give this a B+.
Okay. I am actually right there with you. Yeah. I was between that and A-. Even though it's a go-to Christmas horror movie, there is something that's still, like, it's not trick-or-treat level
for yeah.
me. But it's still very, very highly recommended by me, especially for Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do love to watch it every year.
At least there's one thing we can definitely appreciate, is that it is way better than Santa Jaws and the Black Christmas remake.
Yes, it is.
So good choice with this one.
Yeah.
All right, so I can only guess what your myth is going to be for
this episode. I know. Well, I was kind of going back and forth because I was like, do I do the myth about what the movie is about? But I feel like we have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hate to have to like double down, but yeah.
You know what? Like, honestly, you kind of can't help it. Just like eventually, if we ever do a Leprechaun movie, we're probably going to cover Leprechaun. Yeah. So let's hear all about Krampus. All
right. Yeah. So my myth is Krampus. Just give you a little more info about it, and maybe you'll understand the movie a little bit more. So actually, you know, some of the things they point out do kind of pertain to the movie. So Krampus is a creature from Central European folklore. He is like a horned half goat, half demon figure. So he punishes bad children during the Christmas season, just like most of these legends go after bad children. You know, they all kind of have the same theme. And he's actually a companion to Saint Nicholas in several different regions in Europe. Mm-hmm. So it's theorized that Krampus dates back to pre-Christian Alpine traditions. And his most common traits include, like, he's very tall, he's hairy, and it's either, like, brown or black. Like, you even, like, the movie we saw, like, kind of like a hairy coat he kind of had on.
Usually black. Yeah.
Cloven hooves and horns, like the horns of a goat kind of thing, and long pointed fingers and a long tongue that kind of sweeps out there, and he has fangs. So mm-hmm. it's all kind of the general, like, depending on where you are, depends on, like, how they kind of view him. But that's kind of the general idea of what he looks like. Now, he can carry chains, and sometimes the chains are covered in bells, and he kind of shakes them a little bit. And in pagan origins, he carries a bundle of sticks that he uses to beat bad children with.
Yeah, that's the original switch.
Yeah, which is similar to the Belschnuckle, which... Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. Maybe you'll hear some stuff about that.
The tamed down version of Krampus.
Pretty much. Or sometimes he can carry a whip, depending on which area that they're depicting. But they can also depict him carrying a sack or like a basket on his back, which is where he stores the bad children as he carts them off for either drowning, which I didn't know that.
Mm.
So they say he either drowns them, eats them, or takes them back to hell.
Ooh.
Okay. So those are the ideas. Ooh. So it's not just punishing bad children. Like, he's killing these children.
I guess of those options, drowning might be the best.
No, drowning is probably the worst.
Well, I don't want to end up in hell.
Well, maybe you wind up ending up in hell anyway if you die, if you're a bad child.
Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, that's... Yeah, I knew he took children. I didn't know what he did with them.
Yeah.
That's... Whew. All right.
Yeah. So, in 1932, Austria actually banned the Krampus tradition, but they actually made a resurgence at the end of the century. So I guess like the festivals and things like that, they kind of got rid of that because it was more Christian things like that.
Because obviously Austria and Germany, I think, have always been the two most well-known countries that associate it with Krampus.
With Krampus, yeah. So December 6th is the Feast of St. Nicholas, which you didn't know any of this until just recently. When we had with the kids and everything like that, we did the Feast of St. Nicholas. But the evening before on December 5th is known as Krampusnacht, which is literally translated to Krampus Night. And that's when Krampus appears on the streets, and sometimes he's accompanied by St. Nicholas. Now, St. Nicholas will carry, like, a golden staff and reward good children, whereas Krampus will give out coals and sticks to bad children. So it's kind of like a combination, like, the, you know, American version, like, Santa Claus. Like, so Santa Claus gives presents to good kids and coal to bad kids. So this is just a separation of the two.
That's something that I've never understood as a kid, like, what was the deal with the coal?
With the coal.
Because, honestly, outside of that, like, as a kid, as an American kid, you're especially like, I just need to be good so I get stuff. You didn't really have fear of something happening to you if you did bad. Like, you're like, I just won't get presents, or, like, the coal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is funny. Like, for obvious reasons, they soften that over here for kids, especially through Christianity. But I was always kind of curious, and I was actually kind of hoping there was going to be something with Krampus and coal. Like, maybe in place of the kid, he left a lump of coal.
So this was just kind of, just like, as, not necessarily he would kidnap these kids, like, but he would just give them the coal and the sticks and everything like that to say, you know, you weren't really that good of a child. Whereas, you know, they just kind of combined it.
Sure. No, it makes complete sense. And I mean, from the movie, they covered him pretty, like, I mean, he's tall, he has the hooves, he has the horns, definitely has fangs, long fingers. He didn't have a sack. He had the chains with the bells. Basically all the other little things, like, did his bidding to put them away. But yeah, taking them to hell, or it would be pretty crazy if they would have shown him eating one of them. That would have been nuts.
I mean, most of the pictures, like, if you Google him, most of the pictures you'll see he has either the sack or the basket on his back. And he always has that long tongue out.
Did you happen to see what's the earliest known depiction of him, or where he first showed up?
I did see something. I actually forget the exact date. It wasn't necessarily Krampus, but it was like 1200 BC. There was something similar to that. Like, you know, a creature covered in fur and, like, with similar features. Mm-hmm. So, but they didn't necessarily call it Krampus. But it was very similar to that.
We know a lot of Christmas was inspired by German traditions, and we covered with my stuff, like the Yule lads, and, you know, that obviously what we know of Christmas today is a combination. I am curious if the St. Nicholas part of it was tied to Krampus back then as well. Like, was there... Krampus was always there for a bad kid.
Yeah, and then St. Nicholas was there for the good children.
Yeah, so I'm curious, like, obviously St. Nicholas is tied to Christianity. But I'm curious if there was a German equivalent before that.
I mean, I think St. Nicholas died somewhere like 800 AD, something like that. And he was the patron saint of, like, children and sailors and prostitutes. He was a saint of a bunch of things. There's also it's a celebration that they do called Krampuslauf, which is the Krampus Run, and it's a festival that involves alcohol and dressing as Krampus and parading in the streets, which I really would like to go to this.
Yeah, I saw it. It's like a lot of the adult men in the towns, especially in Austria, they get dressed up. I've seen pictures. It's pretty crazy.
Awesome.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. They do like fire and stuff like that. Oh, very, it's
very
so cool.
Animated. It's scarred the shit out of some kids. But yeah, it's very cool. It's very interesting. And that's why I said with the movie and it's highlighting that tradition, like, I wouldn't be shocked if you don't see something done in some city in America.
Well, there have been instances where they have done a couple, like, in the U.S. But I think, like, 2016 or 2017 was the last one that they did.
Hmm. Well.
And it was, like, San Francisco or
but
something.
But I'm sure, like,
that.
Like you said, I could see that shit happen in New Orleans or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, no.
Post-COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we need to do.
It's a hell of a myth, and as we said with all these myths, badass kids, man.
Yeah.
They inspire creativity of some pretty dark mythological figures.
Yeah.
So, I have a feeling with our two remaining weeks in Christmas, till Christmas, we'll probably see more myths of things that just punish bad
pretty
kids.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of these are all very similar, like the idea behind them, like, you know, beating children, carting them off in baskets and whatnot. They're pretty much all the same, just different variations.
Yeah, and you got to assume, you know, back then, word of mouth was probably spread by traveling merchants, soldiers going to other areas, and so they brought with them these stories, and someone just gets a general gist, like, oh, kids are bad, and this thing comes and eats them, drowns them.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, then they put their own cultural twist. But ultimately, yeah, it's bad kids equal this thing comes, punishes them, usually takes them away. I like how it's always the parents ensure, no, take the kid away.
Take the kid away.
It's never like the kid just gets a good lashing and they're going to be good now. No, it's get him the hell out of here. So, interesting. Now, obviously, it's a great myth.
Yeah.
Spawned a great movie, so. Now, I'm really curious, what is going to be your place?
Okay. So, I decided to stay in Germany, and I'm going to go with Wolfsegg Castle. So, Wolfsegg Castle is located in the district of Rogensburg, which is in Bavaria in Germany. So, this castle was built in the 1300s by a wealthy man known as Ulrich von Laber, and it was actually built as like a defensive structure and provided lodging for traveling troops. It was like initially built for like a stronghold, but like they kind of didn't use it as that, like a defensive kind of thing, but they did allow traveling troops to kind of go through. So Ulrich was a knight, and he lived in the castle with his wife Gräfin Clara von Helfenstein.
Okay.
Just geez, German names. Yeah. Just ridiculous. So we're going to call her Clara.
Okay.
Okay.
So Ulrich and Clara.
Ulrich and Clara. So Ulrich was constantly traveling for like military responsibilities because he was a knight. And because he was gone so often, you know, there were some marital issues because he was never there. And he didn't want to leave his wife by herself at the castle, so he actually hired someone to protect her and handle like the issues in the castle that a man would have needed to do. So they hired a man named George. I think that's George.
Yep.
Yeah, just a German spelling of George. George Moeller. So of course, what happens when they're left alone with another man in the castle.
You
and
women, God
hubby
forbid.
Decides to travel.
You got your own castle and you can't stay loyal.
Yeah. So Clara got lonely and actually started an affair with George. Ulrich later found out and hired two young farmers to kill her. So.
Kind of a bitch move. I mean, he's a soldier. He could probably just die himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so not long after Clara's death, Ulrich and their sons actually suddenly died, but it was unclear of the manner of their death.
Wait, whose sons?
Ulrich
did
and
have sons.
He did have sons, yeah.
But were any of the sons illegitimate children of this other affair?
No, no, no.
Oh,
no,
so
no.
He had sons.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So Clara and Ulrich's children, like, so everyone was basically wiped out. But they never quite figured out what happened to Ulrich and the sons. They just said it just says they died suddenly. So soon after Clara's death, there were tales of a white woman roaming the halls of the castle, and in particular in like where Clara's bedroom was to be, you know, seen.
So wait, hon, before you go on, how long after she died did
they like immediately after?
So really, and how many sons did they have?
It didn't say. It just said sons. Like there's not. If you actually look up, there's like some of these. Like there's not a whole lot of info on like most of
record keeping is never
good. Yeah. So like this was just from like a couple different sources I had to go by, but it said the white woman was responsible for like poltergeist activities. It was they actually had a paranormal like psychologist go there and do all kinds of stuff, which caused EMF disturbances. There were strange light anomalies and full body apparitions. So they believe that this was the ghost of Clara. Now, apparently not more than 100 yards into the forest, like from the castle, there's a cave that they call the Hole by the locals. And it's called that due to its steep slope downwards into the earth. And there are strange noises that come from the darkness of the hole, such as breathing, grunts, and growls. And people like have avoided this area for like a couple hundred years. Now, I did read actually that, you know, some people actually did go missing in the area. And one of the theories is that that's what happened to Ulrich and his sons. That they just disappeared. So, like, around this area. Like, they're saying, like, there's some, like, kind of supernatural activity and things. And the locals say that the sounds that they hear are unlike anything that they've ever heard of before. And there are other stories of other travelers disappearing. And also that George Moeller, the one that Clara had the affair with, somehow disappeared into the woods and was never seen again.
So, all right. So Clara, it's assumed that her ghost essentially
is haunting the castle.
Haunting them. It is interesting that they never found the Moeller guy, but like, could he have been the one to exact revenge on them?
So that's the idea. So there was a couple ideas. So one was that, you know, Ulrich had Clara killed. You know, of course, they're saying she's a poltergeist spirit, and then Clara actually killed her husband. The other one is that George Moeller wanted revenge and killed the husbands and the sons. But I think it's one of those things, like, they never were really found. So, like, everyone just kind of disappeared. Now, I did see how there were, I think it was in the 1920s, they had some people actually try to investigate this tunnel because they said, oh, it's just a den. It's a den for animals.
Which would make sense.
So they actually, they said it was like a narrow opening, and they actually, I guess, sent someone down into this tunnel. So they figure, okay, it's a den. You go down, you know, however many feet or whatever, and then it would be like, what do you call it, like channels off of it. That didn't happen. It was down so deep that they were like, well, this must be some sort of vent then. So they wound up, the hole apparently is so deep that they eventually, when they did get down to like the bottom, there were tunnels coming off of this thing.
Okay.
But they said at the slope and the way it was, like, there's no way an animal could have even gotten up and down this thing because of how deep it was. And when they did get to the bottom, there, it's filled with bones. So there's bones all over down there. But they weren't really able to bring many of the bones back to the surface just because of
how steep
and like how narrow this thing was. Like they said, literally it just kind of drops down. Off. So some of the bones that they were able to get out were animal bones. So that's one of the things that they think it's some kind of, you know, dweller. But that's one of the things that people kind of stay away from the woods because they think it's some kind of supernatural creature that's getting in and out of this hole. Because they said some were really, really old, the bones, and some were newer. So that's why pretty much everyone tries to avoid this area in the woods.
So the castle itself, though, people still report they think this woman, Clara, is still haunting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing for me would be, you know, if she did kill them in the castle, but they never found the remains, right?
I don't think so.
So
it was very unclear.
This is where I would almost go, like, in theory, not saying she deserved to die. But she fucked up first. She's angry she got killed. Wouldn't it be some shit if that husband's ghost came back and his son's like, now we're going to fuck you up in the afterlife too. Like basically, that's what I've always thought of. Yeah. Like, if there's an angry spirit that wants to enact revenge, like, wouldn't the person who got revenged on, like, want to get back at them now? Like, and be a never-ending cycle of violence?
Well, so... it depends on how you look at the afterlife. Because, okay, now, who knows? It could be like this, like me and you were sitting here talking.
Yeah.
We're ghosts. We can see each other. We can talk. But there are other claims that you're kind of on your own plane. So basically that you would not...
your astral projection.
Like you would see... you might be able to see the living, but you wouldn't see the other dead that are around you, kind of thing.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, that's I'm kind of more fascinated by the hole. Like, what the hell's going on there?
Yeah.
No, the place is interesting.
And you can still visit today. Like, there was someone had bought it and was redoing because it was eventually abandoned for a little while, and someone did buy it and start doing renovations on it. And you can go see the castle.
Gotcha. Well, I guess if we go to Germany, maybe we'll try and check it out. Whenever they don't find remains, especially because, what'd you say Ulrich was? I know he was a soldier.
He was a knight,
but like, was he anything higher than a knight?
I don't think so.
Okay. No, that's interesting.
He was like a wealthy businessman, they said. Like, he's the one who built the castle.
Okay.
So
it's not like it was gifted to him.
No, he built the castle.
Interesting. No, I like it. I like that you stayed German and Bavarian and stuff, so that's a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. Once again, another damn woman. I feel like women's spirits are, it's generally like, from at least the stories we've been learning of, it tends to be a female spirit that was wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
What's this saying? Did she deserve to be killed?
She couldn't keep her legs closed? Guy built her a goddamn castle.
First off.
I'm just saying.
How many women was he probably banging while he was out there?
That's allowed.
Right.
I'm saying back in the day, she was probably his property. I'm just saying.
Oh, really? Really?
I'm just saying that, especially back then, I'm not saying it was right, but I am saying the fact that, okay, now you know what? Put all that bullshit aside. You can't just keep your legs closed because the guy who's out busting his ass who built you a castle. That's my point. There's never enough. I built you a castle.
Really?
He got a guy there to look after her needs, but not that.
All of her needs. Exactly.
You know what? You got 10 digits. You started getting, naming them whatever you want. You don't got to go down that path. And... you know, does she deserve it? That's in the hands of the Lord.
Really? All I'm saying is he probably didn't keep his wang in his pants, so.
Probably not, but he's making all the money, so.
Really? Oh, I see how it is. So if you make all the money, it's fine, right?
Yeah, if she was the queen and... she just had a boy toy at home, but wanted to go out and get some strange. That's allowed.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I love you. Listen, we're talking about what year in Germany? Germany had bigger problems than this, okay?
Yeah, you're going to have bigger problems like this.
I build you a castle. I'm going to throw your ass down the hole. find out you're cheating. Yeah, no, that's like you said, I do like that story though, but I would love if I doubt there's probably too many mess or too many hauntings or reported. How much are predominantly female? Because like I said, think about all the ones we've covered already. Yeah. It's usually a female who's been wronged one way or another.
Yeah. And
they want to come back. You see, you can't even let shit go in the afterlife.
No, we can't.
You can't. Guys are like, oh, I'm pissed, but I'm letting it go. Girls, no.
No.
No, I'm mad.
I'm going to haunt your ass.
I'm gonna hurt every male for the next 2,000 years.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Talk about grudges. Damn it. So, all right. Well, once again, guys, we want to say thank you so much for listening to us. Stick with us as we still go through 2 more weeks of Christmas movies, potentially Christmas myths, and yeah, we're going to close out this year big. Thank you once again for listening. If you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe to us. You can follow us on all social media apps. And please, if you don't mind, give us a 5-star rating, even if you want to bash us in the comments. And with that, we want to say have a good night.
Until next time.